Last week in John 21, we looked at Jesus' third appearance to the disciples after his resurrection. That's when Peter was fully restored to Jesus, and Jesus charged Peter to feed his lambs and tend his sheep. Jesus made Peter a shepherd of the lambs and sheep, a shepherd of the church. Jesus, of course, is the good shepherd. He is the ultimate shepherd, and that means he has the authority to delegate under shepherds. And that's what Peter and the other apostles would be. They were shepherds of the church, working for and working under the chief shepherd, Jesus. By the way, the fact that Jesus used the distinct terms lambs and sheep is significant. After service last week, a member came to me and said, "So I guess that's a Paedo communion passage, isn't it?" And they said it like it was a no-brainer. It didn't even occur to me. But yes, it does work for Paedo communion because a lamb is a baby sheep. The sheep and the lambs were to be fed by the apostles. Peter wasn't to feed the adults only. He was supposed to feed the adults and the babies. Our text today is from John 10, which is prior to Jesus' death and resurrection. But it includes this theme of shepherding sheep. Most of the chapter is focused on that theme. This is when Jesus says he is the good shepherd and that he lays down his life for the sheep. He gives a parable about protecting sheep from a wolf and so on. The section we're looking at addresses who the sheep are. If the apostles were to feed the sheep, they needed to know who the sheep were and who the sheep weren't. John 10, starting in verse 22. "Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch." What is the feast of dedication? It's a Jewish holiday, also known as the Festival of Lights, or most commonly as Hanukkah. Everyone's heard of Hanukkah, right? Hanukkah celebrates an event that happened about 167 years before Jesus was born. Jerusalem was captured by a Greek king named Antiochus Epiphanes. Antiochus did some terrible things in Jerusalem, like sacrificing unclean animals in the temple to worship Zeus, a pagan god. Well, a couple of years later, Jewish revolters known as the Maccabeans fought back and they won. The Greeks were defeated, and so the Jews rededicated or reconsecrated the temple to the worship of Yahweh. That is what Hanukkah celebrates, hence the name Feast of Dedication. They were rededicating the temple. To this day, modern Jews celebrate Hanukkah, which is ironic since they don't have a temple at all anymore. But it is an 8-day festival held in the winter, sometimes overlapping with our dates for Christmas. It's fascinating that Jesus was at the temple during this festival because it was not a feast that Yahweh commanded in the law. The events that it celebrates were during the period of silence between the end of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New Testament. That's when this holiday was created, so you're not going to find anything about it in the Old Testament. Most of what we know about it is from historical sources like the Apocrypha and others. But this means that the Jewish people and Jesus himself were celebrating an additional feast, a feast that was not prescribed by God. That's important because it shows us that it is okay for peoples and nations to mark special occasions and holidays. We even have one today, don't we? Mother's Day. If any of you forgot about that, you better come up with a plan quick. Just because God has not directly mandated something doesn't mean that it is necessarily wrong to do. It's not wrong for nations to celebrate events in its history. It's not wrong for churches to have a calendar with holidays. And I say this because, believe it or not, there are Christians out there who think it is wrong to celebrate holidays. But not so, according to the Bible. Jesus himself participated in the customs of his culture. As long as the events or customs aren't sinful, there's nothing wrong with celebrating. So, Jesus was at the temple during Hanukkah. Verse 24. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Some Jews approached Jesus about his messianic identity. They knew of Jesus. They knew of his ministry. This wasn't the first time Jesus had been in the temple. He had taught in the temple. He had healed people in the temple. So they wanted to know if he was the Messiah. They wanted him to tell them plainly in no uncertain terms. Just come out and say it, Jesus. Just tell us. In the Greek, it literally says, "Until when will you hold our souls or our lives in suspense?" And that's an interesting way to phrase the question. Given that this was during Hanukkah, perhaps the Jews had liberation on the brain. The Maccabeans delivered us from the Greeks. Will Jesus deliver us from the Romans? Come on, Jesus, we need to know. Our lives are at stake. But Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep." Jesus said, "I've already told you. I've told you that God is my Father. You've seen the works that I perform, the miracles, yet you do not believe." Jesus' words and his works bore witness of him being the Messiah. Those were the evidences that proved he was the Christ. But in spite of that evidence, these Jews did not believe in Jesus. They did not lack evidence. They lacked faith and belief. When it comes to the truths of the Bible, when it comes to the truth of Jesus' identity, evidence is never the problem. There's all kinds of evidence. Everything is evidence. When someone disbelieves, it is always a matter of the heart. It is a refusal to believe, a refusal to submit to the evidence. It's not that they're too dumb to understand. They don't have a mental problem. Okay? Remember that. They don't have a mental problem. They have a heart problem. And the heart problem clouds their judgment. According to Jesus, the ultimate reason why people don't believe in him is because they are not among his sheep. So here's the shepherding sheep theme, right? Jesus was saying that he is a shepherd who has sheep, and it's the sheep who believe in him, not the non-sheep. The Jews who approached him were non-sheep. In verse 27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Who are his sheep? His sheep are those who do two things. Number one, they hear his voice, and two, they follow him. Those who don't hear Jesus' voice and or don't follow him are not his sheep. They are not in his pasture. And that is what Jesus was saying about these people interrogating him. Now, in a literal sense, they had heard Jesus' voice, hadn't they? They were speaking with him. They had heard his teaching. But they did not follow Jesus, which made all the difference. To be a sheep of Jesus, you must not only hear his voice, but you must follow his voice, meaning you must obey him. You must obey. "For the sheep," Jesus said, "I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. If you are a sheep of Jesus, meaning you hear his voice and you follow him, then Jesus has given you eternal life. He says that you will never perish, and no one can snatch you out of his hand. That's shepherding language. Jesus protects his sheep from snatchers, from thieves, from wolves. This should be greatly encouraging to you because it means that your salvation is not dependent on your own strength. It's dependent upon the strength and protection of your shepherd, Jesus. Left to yourself, you would be devoured. And you would be devoured quite quickly, I believe. I know I would. But Jesus, your shepherd, keeps you and preserves you from the wolves, from those who would try to pull you away from Christ, pull you away from the pasture, pull you away from the other sheep that are a part of your family. And notice who gives the sheep to Jesus. He said, the Father gives him the sheep. The sheep do not come on their own to Jesus. The sheep are given by the Father, which means God has to draw people to Jesus. Man, in his fallen nature, does not want God, or at least doesn't want the true God. God has to draw him. God has to change man's heart to believe in him and love him and be his sheep. The Jews in John 10, therefore, were not being drawn by the Father. Could they have been later at another time? Theoretically, yes. From our perspective, we don't know who God will choose to draw and who he won't. A person could go years rejecting Jesus, being a non-sheep, but then the Father draws them into the pasture. So we have to treat all unbelievers as potential sheep. We show love to them, we share the gospel with them, knowing that God can transform non-sheep into sheep. And I know probably all of you have friends or family members who right now are non-sheep. Do not lose hope. Do not give up. Keep praying. Keep serving. Keep sharing your faith, because it can happen. God can take the non-sheep and turn them into sheep. God's perspective is more exhaustive than ours. It's more comprehensive. Only he knows who will be the sheep and non-sheep in eternity. We don't have that information. Okay? And that may have been Jesus' perspective in John 10. Jesus being God, knowing the decrees. It's possible and very likely that these Jews were never chosen to be Jesus' sheep. The Jewish leaders, by and large, rejected Jesus, and they continued to reject Jesus. Only a few of them converted, as far as we know. Nicodemus, Joseph of Arimathea, the Apostle Paul. Now, in theology, this concept of God choosing who the sheep will be is known as the doctrine of election, or predestination, or the scariest term of all, Calvinism. Ooh. At St. David's, we believe in the absolute sovereignty of God over all things, including salvation. This is a mysterious doctrine. It's a doctrine that requires humility and trust. God is sovereign over all things, and yet man is a free moral agent who's held accountable for his actions. The Bible teaches both. Well, we can't fully comprehend how those things work together, but if the Bible says it, we believe it. All of you right now, as baptized Christians, those who hear Jesus' voice and who follow his voice, you are the sheep. You are in the pasture with all of its benefits. You have eternal life, and you have the protection of Jesus. The Father chose you and drew you to Christ, which is remarkable because He did not have to do that for you. In fact, He would have been completely just to just leave you in your miserable state of sin. But He chose to be merciful. You did not deserve it, and you could never earn it. Kids, those of you who are being raised in the faith as the little lambs of the pasture, God drew you to Jesus by placing you in Christian homes to parents who love you and who are raising you in the faith. That's remarkable. God did not have to do that for you, but He did. That should inspire immense gratitude in your heart for the Lord. Kids, let me challenge you to thank God for that this week when you pray. In contrast, the non-sheep do not have eternal life. They don't have Jesus' protection. If they remain in their sins as a non-sheep, they will be judged and they will perish. That was the implicit warning Jesus gave to His interrogators. That's what's at stake if you're not among the sheep. On the last day, you won't be raised to glory to live with the resurrected Jesus. You'll be raised to dishonor, to suffer in the lake of fire. Jesus then made a bold statement in verse 30. He said, "I and my Father are one." That was a dangerous statement for Jesus to make because the Jews took up stones to stone Him. He said, "Which of my works are you stoning me for?" They said, "Not for your works, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God." For all the people today who say, "Jesus never claimed to be God," they need to read John 10. They need to understand Jesus' words in the context of the original audience. The Jews knew exactly what Jesus meant by this, and they wanted to stone Him for it. This is one of many passages that teach the divinity of Christ. He is your Lord, and He is your God. You say that confession with Thomas, "My Lord and my God." Jesus is the Christ, true God and true man. We have all the evidence we need to believe, including the resurrection. He is your shepherd, and you are His sheep. Be grateful and rejoice that the Father has drawn you to Jesus. Be at peace, knowing that you have His protection. You are supported in His grip, and no one else can snatch you away. You are safe in the hands of Jesus as long as you keep hearing His voice and keep following His voice. That requirement never ends. That requirement never ends for you. You must strive daily to follow His voice and to persevere in doing so. You follow His voice in the Scriptures, in sermons, in the wisdom of godly people who know you and love you. You follow His voice in the counsel of your elders. Who are the under-shepherds that we have today in the church? Pastors and elders. One of our jobs is to protect you from false teachers and false doctrines. What did Paul say to the elders in Acts 20? "Take heed to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among you, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves." God has ordained leaders in your life to assist you in your Christian maturity, to help protect you from the wolves, whether outside the church or inside the church. You cannot do Christianity on your own. Let me say that again. You cannot do Christianity on your own. That is not how God made it to be. We are a community. We're a pasture of sheep and lambs. If you isolate yourself from the community, you are opening yourself up to be attacked and deceived. Relying on your own strength will not go well for you. You must remain in the pasture. Do not ignore Jesus. Listen to him. Do not run away from Jesus. Follow him. Keep doing the things his word tells you to do. Keep believing in the things his word tells you to believe. Remain a faithful sheep, and the shepherd will give you his benefits forever.